I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to welcome in a DC icon, a guy who had his numbers hung up in the rafters of Capital One Arena just a few weeks ago. Phil Chenier, Wiz analyst for NBC Sports Washington, joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. By the way, congratulations. Get the jersey up there and everything and the little microphone.
Awesome. You deserve it.
It was an awesome night. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
you were pretty composed, too. And it didn't even seem like, I mean, you did a great job.
He's always composed.
But it didn't even seem like you had anything really too prepared. You just, it almost seemed, that's how natural you are. You just kind of, it almost seemed like you were winging it. But how much did you prepare for that?
Well, believe it or not, I prepared a lot, but the Wizards were telling me that the league didn't give you but so many minutes, so don't draw this thing out. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Under time constraint. But I was just real happy to have my family there, my grandkids, and I had a bunch of friends that I'd grown up with up in the suite. So it was a great, great experience for me.
Yeah.
When did
cool.
you, Phil, when did you know you were a pro? Like sophomore year in high school, junior year in high school? What do you think?
Well, no, I didn't know I was a pro until 1971, and it was later on in the season. I was the first couple of games I was flying, you know, I was on cloud nine. But, you know, obviously I started having aspirations when I was in high school. I had a very good sophomore year, and you know, so the dream really kind of began then. And along the way, you have these obstacles that come up, and sometimes you have that voice that questions, am I really going to be able to get there? I don't know, you know. But, you know, it's a goal that you set. It's something that you sometimes it's a blind, you know, it's a blind shot, so to speak. And you don't know. And, you know, I always hear guys say, oh, yeah, I knew this. And I really wonder, because I think there are always those questions in your, you know, in your head, you know, will I get injured? Will this or that happen? So, but you have to have that blind faith to move forward.
Did UCLA offer you a scholarship?
It's funny. Yeah, they did. They started recruiting me in my junior year. Uh-huh. And it was kind of interesting because I had just grown up on Berkeley-Cal basketball. I remember when Daryl Imhoff and that team went to the finals. They won it in 59. They went to the finals in 60s or vice versa. I can't remember. But, you know, I knew all the players on that team. That, to me, was college basketball. When I was young, I'd go up to the football games. I spent a lot of time on campus. So that was what I envisioned of being in college. So even though UCLA was very tempting and very exciting, you know, I thought Cal was building up a program that would end that string of victories of national titles for UCLA. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that was my thinking at the time when I chose Cap.
It all worked out for you. All right, so we've been talking a lot of Caps today, and, you know, the Caps have the momentum back in that series. Yeah, and they'll play a pivotal Game 5 tomorrow at home. But the Wizards haven't shown much here in the first two games against a really good team. I mean, let's be honest, Toronto's a really good team. They got a really strong home court advantage.
As I keep reminding people, they're the one seed.
They're the one seed. But you know what? If this team has any heart, you know, any desire, any energy, this is the spot right here tonight to take this game and make this thing interesting. What are your thoughts on how they've played, and what are your thoughts about tonight?
Well, isn't it interesting that the question you previously asked me about when did I know going into the pros, it's that blind faith, and that's what the players have to have. You know, they have to say, okay, we're going to get one game at a time. We're back at home. Caps had it the other way around. They lost their first two at home and had to go on the road and get two. So, you know, you just have to have that belief that we prepare for this moment. You know, great things happen, you know, sometimes after adversity. So hopefully these players are putting these last two games behind them, trying to correct their mistakes, but looking forward to get one game tonight and then Sunday turn around and get another one. But they have to make some improvements. They have to make some changes. They have to get some stops, obviously. I mean, I think their offense has been pretty good, especially if you look at the numbers. But defensively, they just have not been able to get enough stops. And any time a team shoots 53% from against you in the playoffs, mind you, playoffs is supposed to be a lot tougher, more physical, you know, harder to get open shots, harder to knock down shots. So it doesn't bode well when a team is shooting over 50% against you in these first two games.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, it's just a lot of easy looks. I mean, Toronto was draining threes left and right.
What did they have in the first half? Was it 74?
76, I think.
76, I think it was.
I mean,
well, they had 44 in the first quarter. 44 in the first quarter.
Right.
And a lot of them were easy looks. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, DeRozan was doing whatever he wanted. Valanciunas was getting bored. They were getting killed on the board. It was an ugly night for them.
Let me ask you this, Phil. What changes can Scott do? I know he's talked about it maybe. Well, JP mentioned it, and I think some even alluded to it maybe yesterday in the media. Maybe move Mike Scott in there. One of my criticisms of Scott, and we have him on every other week, and I love him, great guy, but he always says he's going to make changes, but then I don't see him. I don't actually see changes. I think it's time to maybe actually change something.
Well, I mean, that's a very tough issue to deal with because do you change paddles in the middle of the stream and that's where you are? Mm-hmm. And now maybe what you decide to do is have a shorter leash on some of those bigs, particularly Marchand, who's been struggling.
Right.
And if he starts off the game struggling, go that way. But you got to be very cautious about just making changes and not thinking that you're going to affect maybe if Mike Scott starts, now you don't have him coming off the bench
right. And
giving you that punch that he's given the first two games. He's used to playing with the second unit. So, you know, those are other things to consider. I'm not saying he's not going to do that, but there are a lot of different considerations to make. And sometimes there are changes that can be made that are a little bit more subtle than just, you know, changing the starting lineup.
Right. Hey, I wanted to ask you your sense, and you're around the team, maybe not as much as you had been in the past when you were covering each and every game, but you know the relationships better than we do. What is going on there between John Wall, Bradley Beal, Marcin Gortat? There seems to be something beyond, you know, a great relationship.
Well, these kind of tense moments can bring out the best and the worst. And I didn't see the video. I saw the picture mm-hmm. of where John and Marcin were having, it looked like a conversation. I don't know how heated it was. It could have been just talking about assignments, and Brad was sitting next to him with the towel. So, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on, but obviously, you know, there's some concern there, and the players, I'm sure, have shown that concern. If you win these next two games, then things fall in line a little bit better. You're not thinking about any kind of discourse. You're thinking about, you know, it's being a three-game series. So I tend to try and to look at the side where things can get better. I don't think they have a bad relationship. It certainly didn't seem that way when I was traveling with the team, you know, last year, over the last few years. But I do know that, you know, when times get a little tense, you know, you get a little frazzled sometimes. I mean, I've had that happen in games and situations with teammates myself. You know, you get frazzled, you almost get into fights at practice, but sometimes that works out for the better, you know, and hopefully they come out with that you know, that type of energy, that type of fight that comes out to start the game tonight.
Give us your best Bullets fight. Did you get into it with Kevin Greavy back in the day at practice or something?
Well, I tell you, Dick used to, we would go at it at times, and one thing would lead to another, and Dick would let it get more and more physical. I mean, sometimes we'd have to be separated, you know. I remember our third year when we were playing, getting ready for Golden State in the finals, we had to practice, I want to say, at least a full week before we started playing. And so, you know, to try and change things up, KC was changing the lineups around. And at one point he had me and Kevin Porter going against each other. And then we almost got into a fight. We had to be separated, you know. And, you know, the tension gets so tight that, you know, you're not thinking right sometimes. But like I said, sometimes it prepares you for that game. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, happens tonight. And then you win this game, you win Sunday, and everything will be in the past. You'll be forgetting it. You'll be thinking about that three-game series and how you can close out a win up there in Toronto.
One of the head scratchers for game two, Phil, was Bradley. I mean, 3-for-11, not ever really into the game, didn't get into any rhythm. Very frustrating. Yeah. Defensively, he wasn't good. I mean, I would expect him to come out and have a really good game tonight.
That's what I'm anticipating. You know, I think Bradley Beal is a great player. He's very young, so that greatness is going to show itself in a variety of ways. This is one of those opportunities to show how good he really is. Everybody's had a stinky, funky game like that. You know, you're just out of sync. He picks up two fouls quickly. He never really gets to break a sweat. His mind is racing. He's got to find a way to calm down, get himself under control, do the things that he does best. You know, he averaged almost 30 points in the four games against his team. Now, mind you, John wasn't there, but there were times when he was almost unstoppable. You know, he has to visualize, he has to see this kind of success and forget about these last two games. Like I said, every professional athlete has had one of those games where you're just totally out of sync. There was a play in the fourth quarter. There was a loose ball. He kind of reached for it, but another player actually reacted, took the ball down court. I mean, you know, he just wasn't active. His mind was not as sharp as it needs to be to play in this. It happens. So now you don't compound the problem by thinking about what happened. Think about what you're going to do, what you're going to correct, how good you're going to be. Visualize. This game at this level is a game of visualization. I remember Magic Johnson used to talk about seeing the game before they even play it. And I think that's what Brad has to do.
Yes, he does. Need to get this one or it's over.
Why do you think he struggled in like late in games?
Well, you know, if I'm Brad, I know there are other games where he's shot the ball well and he's made big buckets. Now, he hasn't hit game winners. So if I'm Brad, I'm looking at it from that perspective that I have played well down the stretch and I'm not going to allow anybody to plant seeds in my head so that I'm thinking that I can't do this. Again, this is such this game is played from the neck up so much. And it's what state of mind you're in. Throughout the course of the season, I've seen him play, you know, strong fourth quarters. Now, we're talking about some of these last shot, one shot. You know, you make some, you miss some, and you live with that. So I think from his perspective, he's got to relax. He's got to maintain the confidence that made him an all-star this year. He's got to maintain the confidence that made him one of the top players drafted in this class and has him. The other thing about Brad is that his average in the playoffs is higher than his average during the regular season. And I think that says something about how he has performed in playoff basketball. So, you know, that's what he has to rely on. That's what he has to visualize and see himself doing. you know, he's got to put out all this other stuff that he hears, that he sees. Maybe he's not reading the paper or listening to the radio, but he's got to get himself prepared to play the best game that he can possibly play tonight. And he and John will have to lead the way, and we've got to get some role players to do their thing. And they all have to come in knowing that we can't let this team run off 40-something points against us in the first quarter or shoot 54-55%, you know, from the field, 45% from three. We've got to take some of these things away from these guys.
It's the great Phil Chenier. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, you guys take it easy.
Yep.
All
thanks, right, Phil. Have a good weekend.
All right.
Number 45 hanging up there in the rafters. Long overdue.
It's funny how we spend 85% of the show on, if not more, on the Caps, and we keep Wizards like 5%. We got no faith in them.
Well, yeah.
Not today. But, today, actually, I'm looking at it. We've had so many different things going on.
Yeah,
but you're saying in general. I mean, you're picking
last week or so.
But comparing the Wizards talk to the Caps talk.
Do you think that's fair across the area? I think so. I think the area is more into the Caps.
There's some malaise with the Wiz right now, with the way they've looked in Toronto.
Yeah.
It could all flip by
even though,
next Wednesday.
Like, a few days ago, I called the Caps a floating dead corpse in the Potomac. Here they are back at square in the series.
Yeah. It's like a whole new series now.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I'll see if the Wiz can get back into it tonight. I would expect him to come out with some energy and some fire.
Coming up next, one of our favorites. He's already here. Pablo Francisco, comedian, who's going to be at the Arlington Draft House tonight. And tomorrow, he'll join us right here on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, where you can see our next guest in studio. Longtime friend of the show, Pablo Francisco.
Thanks, man.
He's in town. He's at Arlington Draft House tonight and tomorrow. Go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all of your ticket information.
Come
what
shoes
are
you wearing?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wearing these, I don't know, these are like,
those are some LeBron, Jordans of something, right?
Jordan, LeBron's kind of stitching, kind of Taiwan, kind of $300 shoe, I guess. You buy these at...
Are they the foam posits? They look like something like that.
The foam composites, man. These are like the Charles Barkley's or something. In conjunction with, you know, Buck Rogers or something. I don't know.
So you're not really a sneakerhead? You just have nice shoes?
Well, you know, I like those like kind of flashy ones, like the Charles Barkley ones. You can walk in your hotel room and go boom and just catch them right there underneath there. They got that $5,000 Corvette kind of painting.
Right.
You know, it kind of blends in when you walk around it and stuff. So it all works out.
They just popped.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Do you have shoes that you won't wear? They're so nice that you don't want to get them dirty.
Yeah, won't wear, like, you know, Walmart shoes. You know, you put those on, hey, they're Fila's, but, you know, and I won't wear, you know, elastic hats, you know.
What
hey,
about what's Baller Brand?
Big Baller Brand? What is that with the little...
The Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo Ball, LeVar Ball.
He played for the Lakers.
The Lakers, yeah. If they look good, but they have to have at least Nike or LeBron James. LeBron James has the best ones, but now they're turning kind of, you know, cheesy, kind of Adidas, kind of looking New Balance, kind of, yeah, sparkly and confetti. Hey, look at that. Hey, so that's kind of...
You're a brand snob. It has to be like Nike or
Jordan,
right?
Or LeBron's the best. You know, the old shoes look like a space shoe. Even girls pick it up. Wow, it's a cool shoe. You know, it's a good thing. So,
but you usually bring your entourage in.
What happened to all your folks?
Yeah, my entourage, man, they ain't around right now. I'll just be my own entourage.
Get ready, Pumble has to bring his own entourage, starring Mark Wahlberg. Hey, man, huh? You doing good? You doing good? And John and Ben Diesel, hey, you get yourself a Corona. I'm trying to get him down. Does it kind of sound like him? Kind of gravelly? Is that okay?
Yeah, Ben Diesel, yeah.
Yeah, Ben, hey, get yourself a Corona.
But anyhow, yeah, the Entourage is back at, I guess it's 420, so they're smoking.
Oh, is that what it is? I couldn't quite make it out.
Yeah, 420. Yes, I'm a doctor. Dr. 420. Yes, that's what you need. A real doctor says, take two of these and call me in the morning. A marijuana doctor says, smoke two of these and forget to call me. I don't get that. Jeez. I don't know why I'm doing Bill Cosby. Did he roofie himself? I'm going to have me some sex. Here we go.
Have you ever met Bill?
Not met Bill. No, I haven't met him. But
who have you met that blew you away? Like, you're like, man, I idolize you. It just blows me away that I'm meeting you.
You know what it was? Steve Perry.
Steve Perry,
really?
Who talks like this? Hey, how you doing, man?
Really?
Yeah.
He does got a high voice.
Yeah, he's kind of like, hey, you know, the E's and the vowels and all those kind of things. Yeah, man, he
talks like music talk all the time. So when I met him, it was like, hey, man, you know, you're a little radical. You know, yeah, you know, how you doing?
Yeah, so.
Journey. They cracked Journey.
They cracked Journey, man. You know, they got some Indian guy playing for it.
Where did you meet him?
Filipino, I think.
What's that?
I think he's Filipino.
Filipino. Yeah, the long hair, right? And then, he's on the payphone at the time.
So he had the 80s mullet still going on?
Yeah, kind of going. He was like, you know, doing that kind of thing.
Well, yeah.
And he goes, man, you're really funny, man. But when he laughs, ha, 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 ha. Right. So it's like that and Scott Weiland. I met Scott Weiland.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was he a cool dude?
Yeah, he talks like he's very like vocal. He has, right. Hey, what's going on?
They had some demons, major demons.
Yes, it was wild, man. I met him in rehab. We're in rehab together.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and but you can like call over to him. You Scott, come to me. And he goes, huh? So I was like his sponsor, kind of, I don't know, buddy.
You were like his mentor?
Yes, is his mentor? You will do the coke. Yeah. But he was, we were there for a few days, and he was kind of cool. I was like, well, is that guy from Stone Temple Pilots? And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, talks very loud.
Right.
And everyone sang him a song, Welcome to Sierra Tucson. And he goes, I don't think I can handle this. And off he went.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
Did you stay in touch with him after?
No, he unfortunately passed.
I understand, but I'm saying, like, the
rehab didn't work.
The rehab didn't work that too much. But,
so you guys didn't. I mean, I thought you said you were a sponsor only while you were there.
Yeah, when I was there, like, you know, they give you a buddy. I go, who's SW? Who's right, this guy? Right. You know, I look and I see him, in the kitchen. Looks at me with his eyes. I go, hey, what's up? And I go, so how many rehab you been to? And he goes, 57. And I go, all right, okay, let's rock and roll. Let's go to the clip. Let's see what they're going to sing around the piano bar. All right. But, yeah, come on down to the draft house.
Try Chartall. It's the draft house.
Oh, man.
It's the draft house. That's right. I'm Casey Kasem, and it's time for a long-distance dedication. It reads, Dear Casey, my ex-wife was mauled by a bunch of pit bulls. Would you please play Who Let the Dogs Out? It's an old reference. It's kind of old. Okay. It's not hip-hop. It's not the new millennials. Whatever it is.
What was? I'm sure we've asked you before. When you were growing up, what was your first impression?
It was, of course, a Kermit the Frog. You know, hey, the Kermit the Frogs. And then it goes down to Boss Skaggs. I'll tell you. And then it goes into, that's Aaron Neville radio station. But it was a Kermit the Frog. Hey, Tony Montana. Okay, you little frog. All right, you got your stuff. Hey, come on. You got the money? Are you stupid little frog? Come here, you little frog. I got two things, my word and my... Okay, I can't say that on the junkies. But anyhow.
But where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Palo Verde. Yeah, Palo Verde High School. And it was... It sounds fancy.
It might not be.
Palo Verde, yes. Palo Verde.
Are you the most famous graduate of that high school?
No, I'm not. It was Gary Shandling.
Big one.
We're just talking about nothing but dead guys.
So it's Arizona. But you weren't his sponsor,
so Arizona.
Too.
Arizona, Tucson,
so
Arizona.
High school.
Yes.
When you were sitting at the lunch table, who were you doing back then?
Back then, it was Kermit the Frog getting laid. Really? Yeah, and then it was that and John Wayne. I gotta tell you, that's all I could do is John Wayne. I gotta tell you, Pilgrim. And that was about it. And that would make fun of Mrs. Fortman, the reading teacher. And
right.
And right. Then after that.
Give us your Mrs. Fortman.
Everybody shut up. You're in blue. You're in green.
I go, oh, geez. Here we go again. her face was kind of awkward, kind of an alien, kind of... Yeah.
Did you have any hot teachers?
I did. Miss Stein was hot, and she was sleeping with my friend. It was
no
incredible.
Way,
yes.
You're yep. lying.
I swear to God.
Teacher how? Sex scandal before it's time.
Let's
I
go
like
to,
it.
Let's go to the clip.
Yeah.
But she was sleeping with him, and it was funny because I go, you go to Bobby McGee's and meet her, and he goes, yeah, I have a fake ID. And it was hilarious because he'd give me details, and I kind of knew about the details, so I could bring him up once in a while.
Right.
So I go, how's that German Shepherd? Oh, German Shepherd. She has a German Shepherd at home. But that kind of thing. So
how long did that ever get out? Did she ever get in trouble? Did you guys rat her out?
No, we didn't rat her out because my friend was going, man, you got to see what she wants to get down with you. I was like, she wants to get down with me. And, but that wouldn't happen because I'm a two-pump chump. So anyhow. And so funny because one time he went there, my friend goes, I wasn't wearing any underwear, right? I was had my shorts on. And he was, while she was talking to me, she started yelling at me. And so I flashed her, and she's like, go. Takes him out in the hallway. What are you doing? Kind of
flash you underneath the table. You know, the desk.
Not good. Not good stuff. No. Not good stuff. Ed? But, yeah.
Can you believe all these stories? Do you follow these stories of teachers that are having sex with their students?
Yes. My history teacher was sleeping with a banging. Yeah. He was sleeping with a senior, and we got to know each other real well. And we partied at his house every single day until he got busted.
He did get busted.
How old was he?
He was 27. Yeah. And
see,
I was 19,
I think it's when you're in your
18.
20s.
Yeah. It was fun, man. I stole my first pound back then because he was selling marijuana, too. So I stole my, first pound. And, yeah, he was a free enterprise and history. That's what he. Yeah.
Are you good now? Are you clean now? Everything's good?
You know what? I was drinking a while. I fell off stage. I had to go to AA. And then right. I fell off the wagon inside the wagon. Then I then I stumbled off the wagon, or was I a wagon when I fell off? Well, I got dragged by the wagon. So right now it's just Coca-Cola and fun and jokes. That's what we're going to do right now. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
And, his favorite song's Wagon Wheel.
That's a great song.
Just go to AA, because AA means uh-uh. Is it really anonymous? Because you go in there, it's like, you know, alcohol, you know, booze, anonymous. Quiet. Then you have to stand up there. Hi, my name is Pablo, and I'm a loser. And they hum your name out. Hi, Pablo. Like a bunch of monks.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay.
All right, good.
So you look good. You're good. Yeah, you look healthy.
Look, thanks a lot, man. I've been working out on the treadmill, I guess, but no. treadmill.
You don't strike me as a big, like, workout guy, though. Not that you're out of shape. It's just you don't strike me as somebody that cares about that.
Yeah, because when you run, it's boring. Running. Boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah, you got to do some incline. I do some of those. Hit the bag. I have one of those, like, half a dummy, you know, whatever.
Oh, you do? Like a guy? Like you punch the guy in the face? Thing?
Yeah. So you got to get really dramatic. What's up? Yeah, you're my girlfriend. That kind of thing. Got to punch that out. But other than that, just push-ups, maybe a little cardio, and that's about it.
Right.
You don't strike me as having a lot of enemies either.
Well, you know, kind of funny. You know, I don't have any enemies unless for...
I mean, there are people in the business you don't like? Or are you pretty...
No, everyone's absolutely... Everyone's really cool. There was one guy, but he's not in the business anymore. He was taking my jokes, so I had to go, you know...
Oh, really? What'd you do? How'd it go down?
I went on stage, and I just go, hey, look, give it up for so-and-so. He does my act better than I do. And, we kind of like, you know, he's, hey, man, they always lie first. What are you talking about? It's parallel development. I was like, no, it's not. And, we got him, so.
So he's out. He's not doing anything anymore.
He's out. He's
is that
gone.
Someone we would know?
No, you wouldn't know. Oh,
okay.
But, he was a Latino guy. Latinos, we get to get together.
But I never understand that. Like, so if he's stealing, like, your famous bits?
They'll take it right off the bat right there. One time I said, when I saw him at first, I go, try my stuff in the living room so you get the feel of the comedy, right? Right. And then he decided to do it on stage, and he kept on doing it and doing it.
Oh, so you were, like, mentoring him.
Yeah, we were, like, friends, kind of, you know. And I said, you know, he was, like, you know, really nice when he approached me. Hey, would you do that? Can I, you know, I want to do some comedy. But he really moved up the ladder, but all of a sudden, you know, he started doing that. And then he was going into the clubs doing it. At the time, my girlfriend ran the club. And my manager goes, hey, he's dealing your stuff. You got to confront him.
So, right.
And that's what happened.
Was he doing the voices, too?
No,
or just the material?
Just the material. Oh, so okay. It's like,
was he doing the hand thing, too?
No, he wasn't doing that.
That's mine.
Imagine
that's
two comics. Mine.
Man,
I do that.
You no, own that.
Yeah. It's like,
all right,
two
can you stick around, Paolo?
We can stick around.
All right. You're looking to join the most exciting team in town. Crop Metcalf is looking for the very best residential and commercial HVAC technicians, plumbers, and support staff to join their award-winning team. Don't miss Crop Metcalf's Career Fair Saturday, April 28th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Nats Park. For details and to learn how you can get free tickets to the game following the event, visit cropmetcalf.com/NatsCareerFair. That's Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Very good.
I think we've slept on this. We have not one pair, but two pair of tickets to see the Nationals take on the Diamondbacks April 27th at Nats Park. We'll just hook up the 10th and 11th callers at 800-636-1067. Tickets on sale now through the Nats Stadium box office, which you can win your way in for free right here on the Junkies. Get more details at thefandc.com/contest. You know, I was just thinking about this. I have no idea if you
right.
do. Have you? Do you? You're in D.C. Do you right. throw Trump into the mix now?
Trump. Sometimes I do. You know, I'm trying to, you know, get him better. It's going to be huge. There you go, huge. Just Trump around. Just Trump around.
I heard that Stormy Daniels is dancing in Baltimore.
Yeah, she's nearby.
We were
right?
trying to get. We were trying to get her in studio.
Really?
Do you know Stormy? Yeah. I mean, you know a lot of porno chicks, right?
I know. I
mean,
you have. I know a few of them, but I've never slept. Well, I kind of, you know, got in the action a little bit.
Right.
Because when you see the footage, you're like, cut! But Stormy Daniels.
Some of the girls
that
you
knew? Live next door to...
Next door was Ashley Amends. Live next door. Yeah,
I got to Google her.
Right
and I always got to ask her, how do you spell your last name again? But she's actually a cool chick, and she lived there for about maybe 2 weeks.
Ashley Amends, is that her name?
Right. Yeah.
And then there's Felicia Ann, and then there's Venus, who gets a nice basketball. And
what was hold on, Felicia Ann?
Felicia Ann with a P-H. Still can't spell P-H-L.
Right. Oh, my God.
But, Stormy Daniels, would you check that out?
I
think
get
she's that attractive now.
I keep hearing she looks gross.
She was.
Right? What, Valdez, weren't you telling me that?
She looks like she slammed into the wall a little bit.
Yeah.
She slammed into the wall. She was hitting the head with a doorknob. she's dancing and protesting, but
still has big jugs, though.
But you used to have wild, like, didn't you used to have, like, girls over all the time? Like, you had kind of like the party house, right?
Yeah,
the fun house.
It was kind of sort of like that, you know. It was like unexpected. I never, like, planned it, so it's better if you plan it. But when a girl's at your house and calls her friends over, that's when the party starts happening.
Like, what was the wildest thing? Like, would you have girls like run around like naked in your house?
Okay, well, this is okay. Well, not really. Kind of sort. It all depends what drugs they were on. But Zoinks, Bonnie.
All right.
Fruity Pebbles. But no, it was like you get home after a show, right? You know, mm-hmm. just kicking back, and that's when the doorbell would ring, and that's the girl that was living with me was calling them over, and they were actually cool girls. Yes, come in, yes.
You're in.
But, there was some naked girls coming in, but sometimes...
Did you get to participate? Was your girlfriend into that kind of thing?
Well, the thing was is that, I had a friend of mine come over. He had to help me out. I was going, can you come over and, you know, help me talk to these girls? Because one of them was just so, you know, whacked out of her mind. Because mm-hmm. you know what? She speaks three languages. And they came in my room. I was going, you know what? I didn't know I was going, you know, do I have to pay for you guys? You know, I was thinking about that. Because I don't want this. I don't know Bill. Ching ching.
Right.
They go, no, we just came over to visit her, right? But when I was in my bed, they all came around and we kind of talked and
went down.
Kind of sort. I said, listen, right now, Mr. can't, you know, couldn't. It was too. You know, you have to prepare.
Oh, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
He was like going inside.
Yeah. Yeah. He kept on coming out. Maybe. You know. So I go, let's get in the positions, okay?
Right.
Let's just try that at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
simulate.
We did it on the on the bed. That's kind of wobbly, kind of like a water bed on a hammock, but on that. And my friend walks in and sees it. Oh my God, you're doing those positions.
Right.
And it kind of like screwed his head up. I know that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sometimes
you want to get that
through
off.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. It threw him off, and he kind of got like, oh, Pablo. And it's like, I go, he's
so you're
what?
Basically posing the women like you were in some sort of serial killer movie and not really doing anything with them.
Right.
So
and hopefully,
speak.
Mr. You know, okay, we're in it. Okay, let's go.
Try to get there.
Yeah, but at least I was in it.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, and then, it was coming out, and then I just go, all right, better.
That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, what? Yeah, kind of. Let's go to the clip. But anyhow. So, it still goes on a little bit, but it's research now.
For show prep.
Research
show prep. And, you know, maybe you have some live webcam. You know, that's kind of fun, you know. Yeah.
Are you into that?
You know, I got a little addicted to it because it's like opening up a Playboy magazine and talking to it. You know what I'm saying?
So, but you're paying a lot of money for that stuff, right?
Yeah, I found out at the end of the month. But,
what was the biggest bill, honestly?
$11,000, okay, but I was research.
Jeez.
I know.
You can write that off.
$11,000. Film it.
Did you have a money guy? Like, if somebody says, "Pablo, dude, what are you doing?"
Yeah, and just like the firm, they call me to the office. What are you doing? And that was. But it's funny when you see You know, like a
two couples. When they say, listen, Pablo, man, you got $11,000 in charges to some live video.
Live Jasmine.
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's cams all the way.
Yeah, yeah. So are you embarrassed when you have to, when they confront you?
Well, I basically would screen record it, right? And then I would play jokes on him. Like, you know, I act like I have a cigar. And I, you know, have a smoke machine. And I act like I'm falling asleep, and they go, "What?" And I act like, you know, all the smoke comes up. And they go, "Oh my god!" Like that kind of thing. You know? Or like, you know, the best one is
he's
like
doing bits. When you're doing bits with the girls.
Yeah, you have to trick them, right? You know, right. So I take my take a picture of a Ferrari.
Right.
And I cut it out, and I go, "You like my car?" Right. Like that. And they go, "Oh my god!" You know,
you're so rich.
You know, yeah. The best part is when. Is when they're when there's a couple having sex and I go, "Hey man, you said you're gonna leave him," and then I get somebody watching that one. I don't know, it's good stuff.
Oh man!
Or when you're done, you go, "Thanks a lot," and then you put on your mask and jump out the window. it's fun stuff. But you know, so my managers go, "Hey man, can you record it?" And I go, "Yeah, but we have the issue of, you know, posting it because their faces, you got to blur out the face."
Yeah, you can't
and
do
all
that.
And the laugh is in the expression. So.
Do you have a crazy house, like pool and all that? Well, everybody out in L.A. has pools and that sort of thing.
No, it's 25 you know, square foot, you know, got your jacuzzi in the living room, which now anyone can get because you can go to Walmart and get like a generic one, but I got the plush one. Right, but yeah, I guess basically a few weights and that's about it.
Yeah?
Studio. Yeah, a little sound studio. To go in there, shana na 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 na, shana na na na. Yeah, it's the crib for all people, and I have to change locks every 6 months. You never know. Yeah, because you never know, a little key missing, you know,
right.
Windows open, so you got to watch out for that.
You have like
stuff.
Security system and all that.
Got a really good security system. Got the face recognition, and don't want to walk around the house naked. But ouch. But other than that, it's good.
Do you
good.
Have an Alexa?
No, I'm going to
tell.
Oh, God, I can't talk to Alexa. I must speak with you.
I run your life.
You know, come on, play Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer.
I will do that. And while you talk to your friends, I'll keep on asking you stuff. Where have you been? You walked 500 steps. And you put
it on the dog or something. Okay, 1,000 steps. But,
do you have a Fitbit?
Yeah, what's that?
Do you have a Fitbit or something like that that counts your steps?
Oh, God, I can't do that.
Yes, my life is on this watch, yes.
Files.
Are you pregnant? Go to the doctor. Diabetes.
Why are you wearing it?
I got to plug it in. I forgot.
Your wife will
it.
Trust you now. Let me look at your watch. Okay. 5,000 steps today. This watch controls me. And yes, my memory's gone to crap. It's all in here.
So, no, I won't do that. Alexis? Whatever the hell.
Alexa.
Kit, Michael, I need you. Come on, Kit.
But, you know. Come to the show.
Kit, I need you, pal.
What are you going to do? Mark Wahlberg's in there now. Mark Wahlberg.
Hey, man, you want to play Bon Jovi? Huh? You doing good? You doing good?
Well, okay.
What's up? Whoa, yeah. That's right. Bon Jovi. It really doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter. We care if we're broke. We don't care. You know, living on a prayer. Of course, you need cash. It's going out with a loser guy. Guy probably, you know, sleeps on the couch, man. You know, who knows?
Meth who head? Does that movie stuff now that guy passed? Do you get to do a lot of stuff?
The movie voice?
Yeah, I just got signed by Subaru. They do all their commercials. Ooh, so I did.
Nice. Is that real?
Yeah,
really?
So I did. Like, thank you.
Congrats. Very well done.
It is the... it's the Subaru XV. Oh, is it XV? Yeah, or VX.
I did like five of those.
You need the script.
Now they got
the, so do you do the movie voice doing Subaru?
Yeah, shooter, sir, do. Get ready. That's right. Evan wanted a great Subaru.
That kind of thing.
Yeah?
And then he got the other guys. They got this one guy. He whispers, okay, this summer, get ready, Vin Diesel. And then he just, all right, this ready on FX and Mothers Who Want to Kill on Detective Channel.
Right.
Okay. God, my throat's going out already. Could be Michael J. Fox.
Get ready for Kids Who Kill, huh? There you go, on FX. Doc.
Jeez. So that's what else do you do? You do Subaru? Is that your big one right now?
Got the Subaru down, and now we're...
That's good money, isn't it?
It's Subaru. Very good money. Yeah. We're just going in the studio and going, Subaru. Right.
It's a great skill.
It's you know what? Sometimes, though, if you don't really mean the word, for some reason, the guy who's directing you goes, hey, man, you didn't believe in that one word. It's kind of mind thing.
Well,
but,
Pablo, we always love having you. People should go out and see Pablo this weekend at the Arlington Draft House tonight and tomorrow. You can go to Arlington Draft House.
Ticketmaster.com for all of your ticket information. Be sure to come in next time when you're in town.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
great. Take care, guys.
It's time for Who's Hot and Who's Not, presented by ARS Rescue Rooter. Bryce Harper, right, still smoking hot for the Nats over the last week. He hit two home runs with six RBIs and eight walks as well. He's hitting .294 on the year. Meanwhile, Michael A. Taylor only hit .200 for the week, struck out 11 times in 20 at-bats. Schedule your annual AC system check now with ARS Rescue Rooter for only $59. ARS Rescue Rooter, heating, cooling, and plumbing, making it work, making it right.
All right, we got the Wiz tonight, right? What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
I think it's 8 o'clock game.
And then Caps tomorrow at 3.
3 p.m.
Yeah.
Kicks, I'm curious.
I hate that schedule, by the way.
I don't know why this popped in my head. Do you wear the beanies at home?
Sometimes. Not all the time.
Pretty much you wear the beanies every show.
Pretty much.
Stay on the head all
the time. Basically a costume.
It's my thing.
It's basically a costume.
We got to get out of here. Grant Danny next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.